From clean signals to lasting skills, a simple guide to filters and caps used in neurofeedback. Neurofeedback combines precise signal measurement with human learning. Modern neurofeedback relies on signal fidelity, the precise and consistent recording of the brain's electrical activity. Since Hans Berger's first EEG recordings in the 1920s, engineers and clinicians have refined amplification systems, electrode design, placement standards, and digital filtering to measure microvolt-level cortical rhythms with accuracy and minimal noise. A central part of achieving this fidelity is the use of standardized electrode configurations. Contemporary neurofeedback and quantitative EEG assessments commonly employ 19 or more electrodes, positioned according to the International 10-20 or 10-10 system. These proportional placement systems ensure that electrodes are evenly distributed across the scalp, covering all major cortical regions, frontal, central, temporal, parietal, and occipital, so that activity can be compared meaningfully across sessions and individuals. When 19-channel EEG systems are used for neurofeedback or QEG mapping, they provide comprehensive spatial coverage sufficient for most clinical and research applications, while higher density arrays, 32, 64, or 128 channels, allow for advanced source modeling and topographic precision. Proper positioning ensures that training targets, such as specific frequency bands or regional asymmetries, accurately reflect true neural activity rather than placement errors or movement artifacts. Ultimately, modern neurofeedback integrates this careful spatial mapping with high-quality amplification and optimized digital filtering to deliver real-time, artifact-free feedback. Precision electrode placement, whether with 19 electrodes or high-density caps, is therefore foundational to both the reliability of brain mapping and the effectiveness of training. This post is part of a series by John S. Anderson and John Davis, designed to explain concepts that beginners find challenging. Filters. What do filters do? As Fish explains, filters are used to exclude waveforms of relatively high or low frequency from the EEG so that waveforms in the most important range, 1 to 30 Hz, can be recorded clearly and without distortion. The filters receive the EEG signal after it has passed from the differential amplifier to a second, single-ended amplifier. After passing through each filter, the signal is amplified again by single-ended amplifiers. Neurofeedback uses several common types of filters. A high-pass filter allows frequencies higher than its cutoff point, such as 1 or 2 Hz, to pass through. A low-pass filter allows frequencies below its cutoff point, such as 30 Hz or higher, to pass through. A notch filter blocks frequencies around 60 Hz or 50 Hz outside North America, to prevent electrical interference from power lines from messing up the EEG signal. Bandpass filters allow practitioners to select a specific frequency range, for instance, 4 to 8 Hz, to define and measure a particular EEG band, such as theta waves. When the signal requires more amplification, digital filters convert it from an analog, time-based, to a digital, frequency-based format. Digital filters are essential for transforming the brain's raw electrical activity into meaningful information for analysis or feedback. Each major filter type has a distinct way of shaping and interpreting EEG signals. Choosing among them involves balancing accuracy, speed, and phase integrity. These filters are categorized into three main types: FIR, finite impulse response, IIR, infinite impulse response, and FFT, fast Fourier transform. Most practitioners use IIR or FFT filters because they better preserve timing information. FIR filters. FIR filters produce outputs that fade completely after a brief impulse, depending only on current and past input values. They act like weighted moving averages and are always stable because no feedback loop is used. Their main advantage is a linear phase response, where all frequencies are delayed equally, thereby preserving the waveform shape. This makes FIR filters ideal when timing and phase relationships matter, as in event-related potentials or precise EEG analysis. The trade-off is higher computational demand and longer latency, especially at high filter orders. IIR filters. IIR filters, in contrast, feed part of their output back into the input, creating a theoretically infinite response. This feedback allows them to achieve sharp cutoffs with far fewer calculations, making them efficient for real-time use. However, their feedback structure introduces nonlinear phase distortion, shifting different frequencies by slightly different amounts in time. For most neurofeedback applications, where the focus is on band amplitude rather than precise waveform alignment, IIR filters are preferred because they minimize delay and maintain feedback as nearly instantaneous as possible. 3FIR IIR filter questions. Are FIR better than IIR for preserving phase relationships? 4 absolute phase. Yes, FIR linear phase. For relative phase and coherence between channels with matched filters, no meaningful difference. Do IIR filters mess up coherence / phase neurofeedback? No, provided filters are identical, time invariant, and well implemented, time invariant pipelines offer low latency. Simply, issues mainly stem from transients, mismatches, or unaccounted delays. Are IIR filters good enough for coherence neurofeedback? Yes, they are widely used in real-time pipelines because of low latency. Just calibrate and report delays. Filter precision is determined by their order. The precision with which IIR and FIR digital filters operate to measure a frequency is determined by their so-called order. The order setting of the filter is simply the number of samples used in the calculation of the output. Samples reflect the sampling rate of the amplifier, which is the number of times the amplifier measures, or samples, the incoming EEG signal. Thus, a higher order filter uses more samples for calculation, resulting in greater precision. The trade-off between precision and speed. However, this precision comes at the expense of speed. A higher order filter, using more samples, measurements, is also slower to produce an output. For example, a typical third-order IIR filter, often used for neurofeedback training, produces an output to the display in 11 milliseconds when the amplifier is sampling the EEG signal at 256 samples per second, SBS. This is fast enough to provide timely feedback to the client so that the changes in the feedback display closely mirror the actual brain-based behavior being measured, sampled. A third-order filter will also accurately represent EEG activity, providing useful information for the feedback display. When choosing a filter for offline processing of the EEG, where greater precision is desired, a higher-order filter may be used because real-time feedback is not required. Thus, the increased complexity of the calculation with a higher-order filter gives a more precise measurement. FFT filters. FFT filters work differently. The fast Fourier transform isn't a filter design, but a mathematical algorithm that decomposes time domain signals into their frequency components. It allows rapid computation of how much power each frequency contributes over short time windows. In neurofeedback, FFT-based processing is widely used to estimate spectral power, e.g., theta, alpha, or beta, in near real time. The window length determines how quickly feedback updates. Shorter windows provide faster feedback, but coarser frequency resolution. FFT filters can vary in complexity, mainly based on the time window chosen for analysis. A Fourier transform calculation needs at least 1 second of data to work. Most FFT calculations use 2 seconds or more to be more precise. More complex FFT calculations utilize a technique known as sliding windows. Think of it like taking overlapping snapshots of data. Each new window includes some data from the previous one as it slides along the data stream. Some people mistakenly think this sliding window approach can produce output as quickly as digital filters, IIR or FIR filters. But this isn't true. No matter how often the window recalculates the data, that is, how quickly it slides along, the math behind FFT still requires at least 1 second of data to create an output. This creates a problem for neurofeedback training. The data sent to the feedback display is too slow. For effective training, the maximum delay between when something happens in the brain and when the client sees it on the display should be 250 to 350 milliseconds. That's about 1/4 of a second. Because of this delay, FFT is better suited for offline data processing, database comparisons, and other tasks, but it's not considered fast enough for neurofeedback training. The one exception is when training slow frequencies below approximately 10 Hz. where the FFT's slower response might be acceptable, although it's still not ideal. Remember that all filters only reduce, attenuate, not eliminate, frequencies outside their set boundaries. For example, frequencies outside an 8 to 10 Hz range. While higher-order filters can cut off unwanted frequencies more sharply, they require longer calculation times. Additionally, when using digital filters for multiple frequencies, they must all be of the same type, such as all FFT. There's one exception to this same type rule. You can use different calculation types for the same neurofeedback display. For example, you might use third-order IIR filters to provide direct feedback for 4 to 8 Hz and 15 to 18 Hz activity in an inhibit/reward display, while also showing the theta/beta power ratio from FFTs for informational purposes. Filter comparison. In practice, FIR filters preserve waveform fidelity. IIR filters enable fast and efficient feedback, and FFT filters provide flexible, frequency-based monitoring. Each has its place in neurofeedback. FIR when precision and phase accuracy are critical, IIR when immediacy is crucial, and FFT when spectral tracking is the primary goal. The key principle is consistency. Using the same filter type and parameters across sessions ensures that any observed change reflects the brain, not the math. The accuracy of IIR and FIR digital filters depends on their order, basically, how complex their calculations are. Higher numbers mean more complex calculations and more precise measurements. FFT filters also vary in complexity. Remember that filters only reduce, not eliminate, frequencies outside their boundaries. For example, frequencies outside an 8 to 10 Hz range. While higher-order filters can cut off unwanted frequencies more sharply, they require longer processing times. Additionally, when using digital filters for multiple frequencies, they must all be of the same type, e.g., all FFT. Phase distortion and latency. In neurofeedback, two technical considerations are particularly relevant: phase distortion and latency. Phase distortion occurs when a filter delays different frequencies by unequal amounts, subtly shifting parts of the EEG waveform in time. This alters the true timing relationship between components of the signal. Latency refers to the total time delay between when brain activity occurs and when feedback about it is presented to the client. In neurofeedback, both factors matter because learning depends on the brain recognizing a clear, immediate link between its activity and the feedback it receives. Excessive phase distortion can misrepresent which brain events are being rewarded, and prolonged latency weakens the sense of cause and effect that drives operant learning. Ideally, filters and processing pipelines are designed to minimize both, preserving signal accuracy while keeping total delays short enough, usually under 250 milliseconds, for feedback to feel instantaneous and reinforce the intended neural state. FIR filters are typically linear phase. Phase relationships are preserved, but they may require higher-order filters, which can add computational delay. In contrast, IIR filters achieve sharp transitions with fewer coefficients, but introduce frequency-dependent phase shifts. In feedback learning, contiguity, how immediate the feedback feels relative to neural events, modulates the effectiveness of reinforcement, allowing systems to balance the steepness of attenuation with minimal group delay. Many platforms compute band activity using short-window FFT power or recursive IIR band envelopes. Either approach is acceptable if applied consistently across sessions, because mixing methods can complicate the interpretation of change over time. Finally, filters attenuate but do not eliminate artifacts. Good technique, e.g., posture, blink strategy, short rest breaks, is still required to maintain high signal quality upstream of the math. QEG cap placement, precision from landmarks upward. How should a QEG cap be put on a client? The electrodes in an EEG cap must follow standard 10-20 or 10-10 system placements. Preparation and client setup correct QEG begins long before you press record. Start by preparing the client and selecting the right cap. Measure head circumference just above the ears. Choose a size that is snug without being constrictive, and ensure the hair is clean, dry, and free of heavy product. Remove metal clips or accessories, and seat the client comfortably with head support. Part the dense hair along the anticipated electrode sites to improve scalp contact and reduce movement and muscle-related artifacts. Note that when working with clients with dense, curly, or springy hair, the hair will keep the cap electrodes away from the scalp, regardless of the preparation done. In this case, with electrodes using injected gel, a column of gel is created that connects the electrode with the scalp. Several things facilitate this process. First, make sure the cap is stable and secure by adjusting any stabilizing mechanisms built into the cap, such as chin straps or perimeter tensioners. Chest anchor straps are not recommended due to their potential respiratory effects, which can create movement artifacts. Once the cap is secure, avoid pressing down on the cap or on individual electrodes as they are filled, as this will compress the column of gel, which can then be disrupted when the cap electrode springs back due to variations in hair density. Pressing on the electrode will also increase the probability of creating a bridge with gel from adjacent electrodes. Finally, be especially careful to avoid overfilling the gel column, which can lead to bridging artifacts. When using a saline net, the saline pads or sponges must be in direct contact with the scalp, and this often requires significant pressure, especially when individuals have very dense hair. Dry electrode caps typically have small, rounded points, either positioned around the perimeter of each sensor or evenly spaced over the entire electrode surface. These points are fairly effective at contacting the scalp, even through the most dense hair. However, they often suffer from cardioballistic, pulse, artifacts, particularly at F3 and F4 electrode locations. Landmarks and alignment. Next, establish the cranial landmarks that anchor all proportional placement. With a flexible tape, locate and lightly mark the nasion at the bridge of the nose, the ineon at the external occipital protuberance, and the left and right preauricular notches just anterior to the tragus. Measure the nasion, ineon arc along the midline and the ear-to-ear arc over the vertex. Their 50% points intersect at CZ, the keystone of the montage. Place the cap so that its midline aligns precisely with the nasion, CZ, ineon line, and its lateral markers align with the preauricular notches. Verify that CZ on the cap matches the actual intersection you measured rather than relying on printed cap logos. Electrode positioning and systems. With CZ verified, position the remaining electrodes by proportional distances. In the International 10-20 system, sites fall at 10% or 20% intervals along the nasion, ineon, and interaural arcs, yielding the canonical 19-channel set. FP1, FP2, F7, F8, F3, F4, FZ, T7, T8, historically T3, T4, C3, C4, CZ, P7, P8, historically T5, T6, P3, P4, PZ, and 0102. For denser spatial sampling, the 10-10 and 5% systems apply the same proportional logic at finer increments, e.g., AFZ, FCZ, CPZ, PIAS, thereby improving topographic resolution and supporting source space workflows while preserving cross-session reproducibility. Throughout, monitor symmetry, left, right distances from the midline should match, and anterior, posterior distances should maintain the intended ratios. Small errors at CZ propagate across the scalp, so remeasure if the two halves of nasion, CZ, ineon, or left CZ right preauricular lengths are unequal. Site preparation and impedance control. Prepare each site for stable contact. For gel caps, gently reduce stratum corneum impedance with a mild abrasive through the grommet. Then introduce conductive gel until the electrode makes firm contact with skin rather than hair. Avoid gel bridges between adjacent sensors, as they can short-circuit channels and distort topography. For saline nets, hydrate according to the manufacturer's guidance and guard against overwetting that can cause salt bridging. For dry electrodes, spend extra time on hair management and seating pressure to minimize motion artifact. Aim for low and balanced impedances, commonly equal to or less than 5 to 10K omega, amplifier dependent, and recheck after a few minutes to catch drift as gel settles. Note that if a salt and/or gel bridge occurs, the clinician must then remove the cap, and the client must wash their hair and dry it completely before applying a fresh, clean, dry cap to continue the process. There is no way to repair a gel bridge once it has occurred. A salt bridge that occurs when using a saline net can be corrected by removing the net, drying the scalp and hair with a hairdryer, having the client brush the hair well to remove loose mineral salts, and then placing the freshly hydrated net on the dry scalp. Reference, ground, and auxiliary channels. Choose a reference and ground consistent with your amplifier and analysis plan. Linked mastoids, nose, or an average reference are common choices. Whichever you adopt, keep the reference quiet, away from muscle hotspots, and use the same scheme across sessions to protect longitudinal comparability, particularly if you plan QEG database comparisons. Add auxiliary channels when possible, such as electrooculography near the canti or inferior orbit to track eye movements, and optional frontalis or masseter EMG, so you can identify and manage artifacts during review. Functional checks and noise control. Before recording, conduct rapid functional checks. A brief eyes closed segment should increase occipital alpha at 0102 relative to eyes open. Marked asymmetries, unusually low alpha, or isolated band spikes confined to one site often indicate local placement, contact, or cable issues. Inspect and correct drying gel, hair under the cup, cable tension, or cap drift if patterns look implausible. Manage the environment and leads to minimize interference. Route the cable bundle down the back with strain relief. Keep power supplies and transformers away from the head and leads, and reserve notch filtering, 50 or 60 Hz, for last. Placement, cabling, and environmental control are your first-line noise solutions. Documentation and reproducibility. Document everything needed for reproducibility. Cap size, sampling rate, filter settings, reference ground scheme, per-channel impedances, and any deviations, e.g., moving a site to avoid a scar. For longitudinal neurofeedback or QEG mapping, replicate the same measurement protocol, landmarks, proportional distances, reference, and skin prep at every session to stabilize spectral features and topography. Whether you use the standard 19 electrodes or higher density arrays, 32, 128+, the combination of careful landmarking, proportional placement, stable impedances, and quiet referencing is what converts a cap full of sensors into reliable, comparable brain data. Key takeaways. 1. Neurofeedback relies on clean signals and fast, faithful processing. The choice of filter, FIR, IIR, or FFT, order, and sampling rate shapes both accuracy and delay. 2. For real-time training, low overall latency and minimal phase distortion preserve the brain feedback link that enables learning. Consistency across sessions prevents math, not mind, effects. 3. Precise 10-20 or 10-10 placement anchored to cranial landmarks stabilizes topography and supports valid longitudinal QEG comparisons.